Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue and today conclude our series of studies on the topic, The Coming New World Order. We've been looking at the world order that God is going to establish on planet Earth to replace the current world order, which is under the control and the influence of Satan. Revelation chapter 21 is our starting point for this series of studies, so you might want to take a moment now, get your Bibles, and turn with us to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. As you do that, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive, and at the end of our broadcast today, we'll give you complete information on how you can contact us here with any questions or comments that you might have about what you've seen in the broadcast today, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. We'll be glad to get those out to you without any cost or obligation. So just get a pen or pencil, get that information down at the end of the program. Today will be the last day that we offer this current series of studies on CDs and DVDs and tapes for you to get. So right now, get that information down, get something so you can get that information down at the end of the program today. Revelation chapter 21 is our beginning point, as I mentioned. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. In Revelation 21, John writes about a new heaven and a new earth. And obviously, in a new earth, you're going to have a new world order, a new order, a new structure on that earth. We've been looking at the new structure, the new world order. We've looked at its origin, its establishment, its capital, and today we're going to look at the glory of the new world's order. And we're going to take some time to just understand what are the conditions that will exist when that new world order is established. Now, we've already seen that the new world order is not something that comes by the efforts of man. When mankind talks about a new world order, and it's not uncommon to hear politicians or intellectuals or in giving speeches or in writing books or articles talk about or write about that we need to establish a new world order. We need to establish a new world order where there's no longer war and no longer famine and no longer disagreements among nations and all of that. The problem is that mankind's never been able to do that. Never been able to establish a new world order. And the reason for that is that mankind is the problem with the current world order. You can't fix the problem of the current world order by using the same people that are a part of that new world order, because those people are walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So the current world order is under the control and the authority of Satan. The world order of today is controlled by Satan. He is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He works in the children of disobedience. He is the one that's in control of the course of this world. The goal of Scripture is to establish a new world order. A world order not under the control of Satan, not under his authority, not walking according to his course, but according to God's course. Therefore, to establish this new world order, a new world order, different than the old world order, we need to go outside of this current world order. Everything that's in this current world order is controlled by the world order and controlled by Satan. So to effect a new world order, we need to go outside of that and bring in some outside influence. And that influence, of course, is God. So as we've gone through our series of studies, we have looked at the origin of the new world order. And the origin of the new world order is God. The new world order does not originate with the politicians and the intellectuals. It does not originate with man's ideas, with man's plans, with man's programs. It originates with God. The new world order originates when God chooses to establish it through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is not something that man can bring about through elections or through through his efforts, through maybe if we could just get a better idea and restructure things and put things in a different way. None of that is going to work. As we said last week, that's just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It might make things look prettier for a while, but ultimately this world system goes in one direction. It goes according to the course of Satan. So we must go outside of that for a new world order. We must find an origin of a new world order that is God. Secondly, in our second study, we looked at the establishment of a new world order. Mankind generally seeks to establish a new world order by negotiation and agreement and treaty, and if we can just get everybody together and get them to forget about their differences, and we can just have this wonderful utopia. The new world order does not get established by that process. It is not established through a process of negotiation and treaty and agreement. In fact, the New World Order, although it is an order of peace and prosperity, the New World Order is established by war. It's established by Jesus Christ returning to this earth with the armies of heaven and literally destroying the armies of the nations and feeding their flesh to the fowls of the air. And in place of that, this world order that exists now, in place of the course of this world controlled by Satan, putting in its place and establishing a new world order. Now, once that order is established, as we saw last week, there is peace. The angels, the armies of heaven, give their report back to their commander. We've been out walking to and fro in the earth, and now we've come back, and all the earth sits still and is at rest. So, although it's warfare, although the New World Order is an order of peace, it's established by war. Once the armies of God are defeated, then His people can live in peace. It's not established by negotiating some kind of compromise between God and Satan. It's established by God defeating Satan, and then His people can live in peace. Last week, we looked at the capital of the New World Order. When men today talk about a New World Order, they are inclined to deal with the great capital cities of this world, Washington, D.C., or Moscow, or London, or maybe New York City, where the United Nations is. That would be a good place for the capital of this new world order. Well, the true capital of the new world order is in a place that would seem unlikely, a place where you don't think of peace when you think of this place, but it is a city of peace, and it's a city that God chose, Jerusalem. And the capital of that new world order will be that city that God chose, that city where God chose to dwell, that city where He built His temple, that city where Solomon built the temple, and God chose to come and dwell in that city, and He chose that city to place His name. And it's that city that Jesus Christ will return to. Zechariah chapter 14 tells us that His feet will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the mountain will cleave in two. And He'll come into that city, and He will sit on the throne of His father David and rule the nations with a rod of iron. From Jerusalem. Not from Washington, D.C., not from Moscow, not from London, not from Cairo, not from the great capitals of this world, but from Jerusalem. From that city today that is a center of strife and division, peace will flow. Now, to be sure, there will be war to begin with to establish that kingdom and that new world order. But once it's established, its capital city, Jerusalem, will be a place of blessing to all nations and a place of peace and prosperity for all nations. Then, finally today, we want to look at the glory of the new world order. when mankind talks about the New World Order, you know, depending on who it is that's talking about it or writing about it or speculating about it, it can take many forms. Usually it has, you know, tied with it that there's going to be peace. We want a New World Order where there's peace. Some might say we need a New World Order where there's no poverty, where everyone has all their needs met and there's no poor people. Yes, all different kinds. Some might say, you know, would call that economic justice. Some might say political justice, where all political views are accepted and received and no one is persecuted for their political views. So there's different ideas about what exactly this New World Order would be. But when you read about the New World Order in Scripture, you realize that it is far above and beyond anything that we could ever conceive. It's far above and beyond anything that mankind, by his feeble efforts, could ever bring to pass. This new world order that comes, that originates with God, that's established by war, whose capital is Jerusalem, this new world's order, the glory of this new world order, is a supernatural glory. That is, it's not something that man could create on his own. It's not something that man could create by his own efforts. It's got to be something from outside nature and man's efforts that God can impose, a supernatural glory. Listen to Isaiah chapter 35, and we'll read the whole chapter because the whole of Isaiah 35 talks about this new world order and talks about how things are going to be and how things will be structured when this kingdom is established and when this new world order is established. And as we read Isaiah 35, I think you'll agree that there's no way that mankind through his own efforts can produce what Isaiah 35 talks about. What Isaiah 35 talks about is clearly a supernatural occurrence. Let's begin at verse 1. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Now there's part of the establishment clause, if you will, of the New World Order. God will come with a recompense and save you. The wilderness and the solitary place shall rejoice and blossom abundantly. When's it going to happen, though? Well, it happens when God comes to save them. God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. It originates with God. It's established by warfare. He comes with a recompense. He's talking here to the children of Israel. Their capital, Jerusalem, will be the capital of this new world order, this kingdom. Verse 5, what's going to happen then when he comes with a recompense to save them? Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall go there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You hear what's going to happen in that new world order. The wilderness and the solitary place will rejoice. The desert shall blossom as a rose. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man will leap as a hart. The tongue of the dumb will sing. All sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You see, when you read what's going to happen in that new world order, what's going to happen in the establishment of that kingdom, these are clearly things. There's no way that man could ever cause these things to come about. The eyes of the blind opened. The ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man leaps as in heart. In spite of all the advances we make medically, there's still, the death rate is one apiece. And there's still sickness and still disease and still problems and trials and tribulations that come from that. The desert blossoms as a rose. The parched ground is not parched anymore. Go to the 65th chapter of Isaiah. Listen to what he says in Isaiah chapter 65, verse number 17. Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem. Where's the capital going to be? Jerusalem. You see, this new world order that originates with God, established by war, the capital's in Jerusalem. When you read Isaiah 65, that's clear. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more weeping, no more crying, no more problems, no more heartbreak. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. In other words, the only thing that brings death would be to sin. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, an old man that hath not filled his days. The child shall die 100 years old. Someone 100 years old will still be considered a child. They shall build houses, verse 21, and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of mine people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord and the offspring of them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. You see, God says, I'm going to do this thing supernaturally before they call, I will hear. Before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I'll hear. I'll hear. Who's I? God will. Jehovah God will hear in His capital, Jerusalem, and His glory will be there, and He will answer that prayer and that request. Verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. In all of that kingdom that God establishes, they shall not hurt nor destroy. The wolf and the lamb will lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like a bullock. Now, how could man ever bring that to pass? How could man change the innate nature of wild beasts to no longer be wild beasts, but to lie down like your family pet? And to eat straw, the lion to eat straw like the bullock. You see, this is not something that man can bring about. The glory of the new world order is something that only can come supernaturally. It's something that only can come because it originates with God. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke 12 and verse 22. And in Luke 12, we read Jesus Christ speaking to His disciples and talking to them about this coming new world order and how they can live life because of this new world order. Luke chapter 12, verse number 22, we read this. He said to His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you by taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is the least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. All these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, that new world order is the establishment of that kingdom for Israel. That will create the new world order. And he tells them, listen, in the new world order, I'll take care of everything. You don't have to work. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about any of that stuff. I'm going to take care of you supernaturally. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21 and verse 4. As John describes the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, he says this in Revelation 21:4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Notice there in verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. You think man could come up with a new world order where he eliminates death? I said earlier, although medical science makes great strides, the death rate is still one apiece. Although medical science does great things, the death rate is still one apiece. Although mankind can cure many terrible diseases, the death rate is still one apiece. But when you read about this new world order, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, there shall be no more death. You see, there's only one way that can happen, and that's supernatural. It's a supernatural new world order. It's a supernatural kingdom established by a supernatural God. The new world order is not something that mankind is going to bring about on his own. The new world order is something that God has determined that he is going to bring about to set right. See, the world is not supposed to be under the authority and the power of Satan. It's only that way because man gave over his dominion to Satan in the Garden of Eden, and God is going to set right what is wrong. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. There shall be no more curse. Keep your hand right there and turn with me back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam, this is after Adam and Eve have sinned. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shalt bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Revelation 22, verse 3, there shall be no more curse. The world order that started in Genesis chapter 3, when sin caused God to curse the ground, that world order will change forever. Revelation chapter 22, there shall be no more curse. But you see, that change must be a supernatural change. You or I or any man cannot just remove the curse of sin. It's here, it's a part of us, it's in us, it's in our, literally in our blood, the curse of sin. It's in the very ground that we walk on, the very air that we breathe, and there's nothing we can do about it. But God can remove the curse. God, a new world order that originates with God, that is established by war with its capital at Jerusalem, the glory of that new world order will be a supernatural glory that removes the curse. There shall be no more curse. And that will be the establishment of the new world order. The curse that was placed in Genesis 3, removed in Revelation 21 and 22, and a new world order is in view. A new world order is established without sin, without death, without the curse. We'd like to help you understand more about the new world order and its establishment. And we'd like to do that by sending you the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this month's series of studies. If you just write to us at Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639, or log on to our website and email us through the website. It's www.gracealive.org, or call us toll-free at 877-53-GRACE. In any one of those ways, you can contact us. If you have questions or comments about the New World Order, we'll be glad to answer those. Or if you'd like to receive the materials that I mentioned, the audio video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this month's series of studies, just request them and get them out to you without cost or obligation. Until next week, when we start a brand new series here on Grace Alive, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.